This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sportsbooks at Hollywood Casino Tunica and First Jackpot Casino are much closer. We're your 50-yard line behind home plate, center court ticket, to real odds, points, and over-unders. We've got all the action, the largest video screens, and the best prop bets in town. So come place your bets at the sportsbooks at Hollywood Casino Tunica and First Jackpot Casino. Must be 21 years or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-888-777-9696.
JJ Hottail here for Direct Auto and Life Insurance. You wouldn't go to the beach without sunscreen. Ow! 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 So why go driving without auto insurance? Maybe you think because you have a lapse in coverage, you can't get a great rate. Well, put your sunscreen on and head over to Direct Auto to speak with a friendly local agent near you. Don't go without. Go with Direct. Stop by a Direct Auto location, call 1-877-GO-DIRECT, or visit directgeneral.com today. Direct General Group, Nashville, Tennessee. Premium pay plans vary. Costs may vary based on how you buy.
Download the official 92.9 FM ESPN app, the radio.com app. Listen anytime, anywhere, and favorite us today. WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS, Memphis' sports station. National contest, data message rates apply. Now, it's Memphis Money Madness. Penny, hoops, and cash. All month long. Brought to you by WeFixMoney.com. Need emergency cash? Check out WeFixMoney.com for more. Here's this hour's code word.
Where has all the money gone?
Sorry, it's time for the 9 o'clock Money Madness cash code. Text CARGO. CARGO. Text CARGO. CARGO to 72881, and you're automatically entered for a chance to win $1,000. Again, text CARGO. CARGO. CARGO to 72881. Your next chance to win is right here on the Jeff Calkins Show at 10 o'clock when I'll give you another Money Madness cash code. Of course, data message rates may apply. Make sure you text CARGO, C-A-R-G-O, to 72881. Good luck.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't. He ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interviews.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I ain't getting no interviews. I know.
On 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I make you ugly. As soon as it drops, we're on a rampage. Bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble in the, cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say, you
Tuesday. I want to start with a apology. The end of yesterday's show, we played the highlights from Friday yesterday. That was great fun to play the highlights of a Grizz win yesterday. It's one of the great things about here being on the flagship station of the Memphis Grizzlies is we have Eric Hasseltine's superb call, which we can relive and happily marinate in after victories. And then looking ahead to last night's game, we talked about the possibility of playing highlights today. But I think if you go back and review the tape, you will notice that Jeffrey, did we have the appropriate confidence in the team?
In fairness, they were 10-point underdogs.
Let's listen to how we described this. We will be back here tomorrow. We'll play more highlights if the Grizzlies can get the win.
Fingers crossed.
Maybe.
Let's not put the cart before the horse.
We'll have plan B ready as well. We'll talk to you then. We don't need plan B. We do not need plan B, ladies and gentlemen.
We
don't need no plan B. We can go plan A. The Grizzlies win. It is the first time that the Grizzlies have an actual winning record since November 15th of 2017. This is from the Daily Memphian report by our man Chris Harrington, who will join us later on. They began their day. They didn't actually win a game to be 500. They woke up. They woke up with a 500 record. They were 7-6, and that was the last time that they had a winning record. Now the Grizzlies, nearly a year later, are 2-1, thanks to their victory over the Utah Jazz.
Jeff, I need to make a quick note.
Yes.
For those that have been trying to text Cargo, Cargo is the incorrect cash code. Text WAVE, WAVE. Text WAVE, WAVE, to 72881. You have 56 minutes to get that cash code in. Text WAVE, WAVE, to 72881.
WAVE, because we know you people want to make. Who doesn't want to win money? You know who else wants to win money? I do. I bought more lottery tickets yesterday.
Proud of you.
I didn't. For some reason, I came up empty last week.
I still presume I will not be getting any.
But this, no. Yes. I don't. As I said, who asked me about
Jason and John?
Jason and John asked me who I would give money to if I won the. Maybe now that you brought it up, but I think your hunger is a big part of your success.
Yes.
And I don't want to take the edge off that hunger.
I appreciate that. But more importantly, who's going to run your foundation?
By showering you with money. Anyway, so, okay. Forgot where we were. Today on the show, we're going to have, I mentioned Chris Harrington. He'll join us at 10. And today we're going to talk about the Memphis Grizzlies. You can read his piece. It's up at dailymemphian.com. Right now, GP is going to join us in the next segment. We will talk to him about all manner of things, including his fairly pessimistic, but it was truth-telling about the prospects of the Memphis Tiger basketball team. If you are outside of the top 100 as a KenPom in the first initial rankings, which is what the Memphis Tigers are, only one team last year got an at-large bid.
Correct.
That started the season outside of the top 100, got an at-large bid to the tournament, and that was NC State.
Correct.
And so it doesn't mean that the Tigers can't make the tournament, but they will, if they do, they will be doing what exactly one team did last year, which makes it seem like a task.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Exactly right. So we'll talk to GP. We also have NFL big facts. The Dallas Cowboys made a deal yesterday with the Oakland Raiders. I think that is the appropriate reaction to that as well. But because the Grizzlies won, because they are now 2-1 on the season, we get to do. Did you imagine we get to do this again?
I mean, if we're being completely honest, no.
No, like this was one you chalked up as an L.
I mean, like it's not as if it was a Sun Belt team trying to beat Alabama, but it was a 10-point line in the NBA is a pretty significant line in the NBA.
Unbelievable. And not only that, by the way, the other apology I should make is to the Grizzlies themselves. In the first game, because all their ads, their TV commercials are about how grit and grindy they're going to be, right? And the juxtaposition between those commercials and what they actually looked like against Indiana was so jarring that in the first piece I wrote, I did point out that those commercials look kind of
misleading.
They look like an affront almost. Like they is what I said, I believe.
A bad marketing point.
And last night, Well, it is the marketing is consistent with exactly it is what they the organization had been saying. And then last night, you know what? There was nothing jarring about those commercials. They looked absolutely grit and grindy as they win 92-84 over the Jazz. And we got the highlights. Let's do it. So with Jermichael Green out, Jaren Jackson Jr. gets the start as we expected. And here's Jaren Jackson Jr.
Gasol, top of the arc, into the lane for Jaren Jackson Jr. Goes at Favors, turnaround, left-handed hook is good. That offhand, he did it against Atlanta early in the ballgame, and he does it there. His first NBA start, Jaren Jackson Jr. on the board.
I love the way he just runs straight to the front of the rim and posts up, and then he knows when to get out.
His, he's really skilled.
Yeah, it's like almost like
footwork is amazing. Like, he's really skilled.
He's a top four pick.
It's like he's a top four pick. Played 27 minutes. Listen, it wasn't 24 points. It was 11 points. But he was effective, I thought.
Don't you think it was the, like, on so many fronts, it was the right call? Like, you do not wish injury on anyone, obviously.
Right.
And it really stinks what Jermichael Green's going through in a contract year. But with that being the case, it is an injury. To me, it was the only option.
Oh, well, that's true, too. And you can actually make the argument that he's, again, stinks that's happened to Jermichael.
Yes.
That it's a better lineup.
Yes, it's certainly more athletic.
He's more skilled. He's really, honestly.
But I think Jermichael is, at this point in his career, Jermichael's a better rebounder.
He's a better rebounder. I don't think he's better defensively, though.
I agree.
And he's not better at all. He's not as skilled offensively. I don't think he's as good defensively, honestly, Jermichael. And he is a better rebound. That is what he is. And better to have both of them than one of them. I mean, I think that's
true. Oh, for sure.
All right, anyway. It was once again a double-double for Marc Gasol. It was again a game where Mark and Mike were the focal point, as they should be. Here's Mark.
Conley to his left towards the baseline. Bounces for Jaren Jackson Jr. Gets batted around. Jackson goes to the floor to get it. Gives for Conley. Straight away for Gasol. Open three. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Good patience by the Grizzlies there. Good hustle by Jaren Jackson Jr. And Conley picks up another assist.
Did a great job on Marc Gasol. He just kind of extended the floor a little bit. Kept it open. And look what he just walked into a three.
Mark plays well against Utah. He outplayed Gobert. Gobert with 11 points. That's the whole Spain-France thing going on there, right?
Yeah.
They don't like each other.
Last night was like one of those nights where I think I was put on this earth to be annoyed, because as soon as Mark fouled out, which was a questionable call, I wanted to just have everyone watch that game and say, notice how things are spinning out of control?
Without Mark, right.
Weird how it works that way.
Oh, you're saying that for the Mark haters out there.
Yes, I can't. I'm so.
The Mark haters out there.
The Mark haters.
It's ridiculous.
Don't need to go away.
Yeah. No, don't go away. You don't need to go away.
You need to reconsider
yourself.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, they said, watch the end of that game without Mark.
Yes.
And then reconsider your position.
Yes.
Because it's preposterous. More Mark.
Sheldon Mack into the game to the left elbow Gasol. He drives it in at Gobert, spins, fades away from eight, and hits. He did not hit that shot in Indiana. That's a great, strong move by Marc Gasol. He's got it going early tonight with seven in the first quarter on 3 of 3 from the field.
You know who had a good game last night? Dylan Brooks had a good game last night.
Good for him.
Here's Dylan Brooks.
Brooks left wing behind a Gasol screen. Fires an open three. Ring it up. Put three on the board for Dylan Brooks. A much-needed triple for the Grizz. And Quinn Snyder going to take a timeout.
Dylan Brooks, he had 7 points, but you know who led the team in plus minus? Yes, Dylan Brooks was obviously an imperfect stat, but Dylan Brooks was plus 18.
Take that for data.
And he, obviously because of A, they lost Jermichael. B, they lose Chandler with a sore knee.
That's tradition.
Yeah, I mean, that's not good either. Like, I don't like that for Chandler either, but what it did is it put Dylan Brooks in the starting lineup for the second half. Now, Dylan Brooks then goes out with a foot. But it put him in the starting lineup for the second half, and I think he played better. And here's the question. Is a starting lineup with Dylan Brooks and Jaren Jackson, as opposed to Chandler Parsons and Jermichael Green, the better starting lineup?
It's certainly the more athletic.
Right. I mean, Dylan Brooks is no superb athlete, but he can move better than Chandler Parsons can.
Yes.
anyway, that was good to see because it had been sort of disconcerting to see what was happening with him. Another guy, the other one of the themes that emerged was depth. Listen, I think I made the mistake last year when they were 5-1. I think we basically said that it was going to be Coach of the Year, Fizdale, Executive of the Year, Chris Wallace.
Yep.
And I was handing out
their
awards. Rookie of the Year.
Rookie of the Year.
And Rookie of the Year was Dylan Brooks.
Brooks.
I think we handed those trophies out when they were 5-1. I'm not going to make that mistake. I'm not going
to
call Jaren
Jackson
Jr. You were
willing to concede the MVP could go elsewhere.
Rookie of the Year. I don't know. I think Garrett Temple, you know, he didn't have, you know, a typical Garrett Temple
game. Tyreek was going to win Sixth Man of the Year.
Yeah, Tyreek was going to win Sixth Man of the Year. Garrett Temple comes back to Earth with six. But let's just say this. The decision to go out and get some veterans, whether it's Garrett Temple in game one, whether it's Shelvin Mack last night, whether it's Omri Caspi, played 10 minutes last night. There's injuries already, and the depth has been important already. Here's Shelvin Mack.
Inbounds comes in, cutting Shelvin Mack. He gets a layup as he nearly lost the handle. Exum almost recovered, but a nice cut by Shelvin Mack on the inbounds pass, and the Grizzlies cut it to three once again.
Shelvin Mack would become more central in the fourth quarter. Let's have a little more Jaren Jackson skill display.
Caspi, open top of the arc, gives for Jackson Jr., left block, spins in the lane, goes to the right side of the rim, and he banks it in with a little half hook. Beautiful move by Jaren Jackson Jr.
Beautiful move. Great pass by Omri Caspi. He put his hand out, Jackson did, and Omri Caspi put it right in that hand. Beautiful pass.
And it was nice. That was the right hand. Wasn't the left hand. That was the right hand.
He was looking really good last night with that little hook shot.
Yep, here's another one.
Left baseline, Jackson Jr. drives left baseline in favor, spins into the paint. Turnaround right-handed hook is good. Oh, he went right at him, shouldered in, used that little bit of pressure to spin away from him and floated up and in with a right-handed hook.
Favors didn't know what to do with him. And some of that may be familiarity.
Sure.
He doesn't know him, but that was impressive to watch. Here's Mark with a three.
Conley on the baseline, kicks it back for Gasol. Open left wing three, bring it up. Put three on the board for Marc Gasol.
It's such an easy game sometimes when Mike Conley plays with him. He knows he's got his man on his hip. He knows he's got Gobert to take into the lane with him. There's Mark.
All right, that gets us through the first half. Into the second half, Jaren Jackson's athletic as well.
Now Ingles throws a bad pass. Jaren Jackson Jr. drops in the lane, gets a steal, drives length to the floor, goes at Ingles, comes to the rim, runs it up with a right-handed little half hook off the window and in.
Beautiful move by the big guy. The floor spread. It was three against two. He had one defender to beat, and he did a little slowed down, long step, Euro step.
That was really impressive. Like, that was another one. More skill. He did. It was kind of a takes it himself, Euro step. It was Jaren Jackson. Again, it wasn't a huge night, but he showed you everything you want to see. Garrett Temple was quieter, but he did hit his three.
Ingles on a little pick and roll, gets it to Gobert. Gobert missed the left-handed layup. Rebound tapped around, grabbed by Gasol. Here come the Grizz. Numbers if they hurry. Conley to the right wing. Conley picked up by Rubio. Conley bounces top of the key for Gasol. Gasol holding it at his right hip. Just palming the basketball. Conley curls behind him, gets it near midcourt. 10 on the shot clock. Conley gets by Rubio. Into the lane he comes. Hangs. Nowhere to go. Feeds it for Brooks. Over to Temple. He'll hoist the three. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Maybe that'll get Garrett Temple going. Beautiful extra pass from Dylan Brooks, and the Grizzlies build a four-point lead.
That was Dylan Brooks in the second half doing good Dylan Brooks things. And obviously, Garrett Temple gets the three. Here is more Jaren Jackson.
How about more Marc Gasol?
More Marc Gasol.
Mitchell hops in the lane, lost the handle. Gasol poked it free. Mitchell gets it back. He's trapped on the baseline, kicks it out to the side for Crowder, intercepted by Mack. He gives it over for Anderson. Good defense by the Grizz. Anderson lobs up ahead. Mack in the lane. He has to bring it back out. Finds Kyle, gives for Gasol. Open look at a three. Ring it up and put three on the board.
I think one of the reasons that he does so well against Gobert is Gobert has to step out to guard him.
Yes.
And that is not what he wants to do. Mark was 3 of 5 from three last night.
Now we do have to Jaren Jackson if you want that. Sorry.
That's fine. Okay, here's Jaren Jackson.
Conley drives, gets by Rubio to the rim, right side, missed the layup, but it's jammed home by Jaren Jackson Jr. Great trail on the wing from Jaren Jackson Jr. Conley didn't get it to fall, but the big fella thunders at home. He's got 11.
You know what? I believe every Jazz player out there thought that was a made layup and just stopped, except Jaren Jackson just kept coming.
We haven't played any Mike clips, but Mike was huge last night. He played 35 minutes. His usage rate, which is something that Harrington talked about earlier, that the usage rate was way off for Mark and Mike in game one. 34% last night for Mike when he was on the court. He had 23 points. 9 of them were in the fourth. He had 7 rebounds, which is critical, obviously, for this team. And then you could just tell, honestly, from the interview that he did with Fish coming off the court, like, he was exhausted. It's one of the reasons why in the fourth quarter they put in Shelvin, so, and they played him together so Mike could play off the ball and give him some help. But even though he was exhausted in the fourth quarter, he was 5 of 5 from the three throw line in the fourth quarter, and every one of those free throws mattered. Here he is with a three.
Conley with 6 seconds, 5 seconds. Screen from Jackson Jr. on the right wing. Conley with favors on him. Steps into a three. Bring it up and put three on the board with 0.3 seconds remaining in the quarter. What a move by Mike Conley to freeze favors with the threat of the drive, and he drills a right wing three.
All right. We mentioned Shelvin Mack would come into play later in the fourth quarter. Hit 2 big threes in the fourth quarter, both of which, by the way, were as the shot clock was running down. Here's both of them.
Mack, a step back, deep two on the way. He hits. Did they call it a three? Oh, ring
yes,
it up
did,
and put three on the board. I thought Mack stepped right on the line. They give him 3. It's a big triple for Shelvin Mack. 5 on the shot clock. Shelvin hoists a 3 over Rubio. Ring it up. Put 3 on the board as he looked Rubio in the eyes and drilled a right wing 3.
Both of them, again, with under 5 on the shot clock. And speaking of depth, Wayne Selden got some run. Here's Wayne Selden.
Mack turns the corner, feeds left corner Selden. Open 3 on the way. Ring it up. Put 3 on the board. And the Jazz crowd unhappy with the officiating, but they ought to be more unhappy with the fact that the Grizzlies have found their range from 3.
And then the Grizzlies hang on for the victory. And then Mark fouls out, and the Grizzlies hang on for the victory. It got a little, would you say tense? Did you ever think they were, I didn't think they were in danger.
Well, I'm having this weird, there's too many sports going on right now. So I
You're
was sitting
flipping.
There, like, I was sitting there thinking, I was like, all right, there's 3 minutes left. The team I root for is up 14. I'm good. I'm thinking I'm in the NFL. I'm in the NFL.
It was a little tense.
Right.
It was a little.
Then I totally forgot. Like, they hit 1-3. Like, it immediately evaporated to 9 in like 20 seconds.
Just,
and I was like, oh yeah, I'm thinking about the wrong sport.
It's just going to be such a good win that I did not want it to slip away because Mark had fouled out. So anyway, that was impressive. Listen, when we went through and we did the W's and L's at the start of the year, this was one you put an L next to.
Yeah, that was stealing one last
night.
And
it is going. It's got a W instead, and you've got Sacramento next. JB Bickerstaff talked about it after the game.
Speaks to the sort of grit, grindiness type of win you wanted. Obviously, hold those guys at 35% shooting. You get an all-out effort from coast to coast on this team. What were you most pleased about with the victory?
Just that. You know, our core values of being a gritty team, to come in here, you know, in a tough place to play against a very good basketball team, you know, to win a game only shooting the ball 36% from the field, but winning 3 out of the 4 quarters says a lot about the character of our guys. And, you know, we keep going and we keep talking about it. This is who we have to be. You know, it's natural for them. That's the best part about it is you don't have to beg and plead these guys to be competitors. They're naturally competitive. And they got after it tonight.
You lost Chandler in the first half, obviously. Dylan Brooks was so in the fourth quarter, but you guys still found guys to keep stepping up and keep fighting.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we talked about at the beginning of the year was the depth that we had. And, you know, whether it was Wayne Selden, Omri Caspi, you know, Jaren, like, go down the list of guys. Shelvin Mack hit huge shots down the stretch for us. Guys just kept stepping up and making plays when needed.
Mark Gasol finished the game with 13 rebounds, which was the same amount he had in the first 2 games combined. What about his effort against Utah's front court allowed him to just be so successful?
Well, I think that's what it was. You know, he's kind of the horse that pulls the plow. And when, you know, you've got other bigs out there like Gobert and Favors, you need somebody that's going to anchor you. And I think time and time again, when called upon, he goes out and does the job. I think it means something to him, you know, to see his teammates looking at him. It's important to him to go out and do that. And again, we couldn't be more happy.
It was impressive. It was impressive, as he points out. It was more like a Grizzlies Utah game of days of yore. Grizzlies shoot 37%. Utah shoots 35%. Grizzlies did lose the rebounding, but not badly. And they took care of the ball. 11 turnovers, and they turned Utah's 15 turnovers into 19 points. What's interesting to me is how they have answered a bunch of the questions. So from game one to game two, we wondered, ooh, what about Mark and Mike? Like, are they going to be involved in this offense? Are they going to be spearheading this offense? And then we saw, honestly, in games two and three, we've seen Mark and Mike absolutely spearheading the offense. Or as Chris said, it's been tilted towards Mark and Mike, as it should be. So after game two, what was the big question? That was a great game, but how about defensively? Like, how did they look defensively? And they looked tremendous defensively. Rubio struggled, Gobert struggled. It was not a good game for Utah, and maybe they were off, but maybe it was because these are the Memphis Grizzlies playing like the Memphis Grizzlies can. Now, obviously, they've got some bumps and bruises going forward. Jermichael's not going to be back. Parsons, who knows, he's got a sore knee. Someone sent me a series of over-unders to start the year, and I'm going to be wrong on a bunch of them or questions. But one of them, I think, was an over-under on how many games Chandler's going to play. I took the under. Whatever it is, I took the
under.
And
I took the over.
Yeah, this does not look good for Chandler Parsons. He's a nice guy, but because of their depth, because when Chandler Parsons goes out, you can slot Dylan Brooks in as the starter. I don't think they're worse. I think you can make an argument that they're better, particularly Chandler Parsons at the three. I think Dylan Brooks is a better three than Chandler Parsons is a three.
I think that's probably, at this point.
And Jaren Jackson is more skilled than Jermichael Green. Now, again, the depth behind them. Ivan Rabb did not play last night. That did not happen. What happens when Mark fouls out? What happens if, you know, Jaren Jackson had four fouls in 23 minutes or something like that? And so, not terrible, but he's prone to fouling. So they
4-27.
4-27. They got some issues, but the fact that they went out and they got the depth that they got so far is playing off. And I don't think. Listen, they were 5-1 last year. It was the worst. It was the most disappointing year in Grizzlies history. It's the most miserable year of Grizzlies history to be a fan. And now they're 2-1, and I'm not going to overreact to that. But I certainly am going to celebrate it, and I'm going to talk to Gary Parrish about it when we come back. It's Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hey, Tennessee. GEICO presents Need to Know Information, because you have to draw the line between what you need to know and what you don't.
Sometimes I tell people I have plans, when really I'm going to mindlessly scroll through my social feed until my battery runs out.
See, didn't need to know that. But when it comes to insurance, the more you know, the better. Like knowing GEICO is the second largest auto insurer in the country. Plus, they've been around for over 75 years and have a 97% customer satisfaction rating.
I talk to my dog. Like, I have long, drawn-out conversations with him, and I think he understands me.
Again, not really needed, but knowing GEICO offers more than just car insurance is important, like motorcycle, RV, and boat insurance. And the GEICO Insurance Agency can help you insure your home, apartment, and condo.
I'm okay with the 5-second rule. The 90-second rule works too.
And not needed. But you should know GEICO has local agents in your area that could help you find even more ways to save. And GEICO offers emergency roadside service. Switching insurance is an important decision. You can never know too much about it. So Tennessee, contact GEICO online, over the phone, or at your local office for all the information you really need.
Ram Power Days have arrived, which means great deals on the all-new Ram 1500, right in time for football and tailgating season. With 1500's available legendary Hemi engine, you'll have a Hall of Famer powering all your drives and celebrations on game day. Add in an available 12-inch touchscreen that's largest in its class, and you won't have trouble locating any stadium, home or away. Hurry in for great deals during Ram Power Days and see why more people are switching to Ram trucks than ever before. Now get $7,800 in total values on the all-new 2019 Ram 1500 Bighorn Crew Cab equipped with premium lighting group package. And current competitive pickup owners get an additional $1,000 bonus cash. Class based on light-duty pickups since 2010. Based on IHS Market U.S. household methodology and FCA segmentation of Conquest data from U.S. new vehicle registrations for CYE 2010 to 2016. Total values include combined cash allowances and $2,300 Bighorn package value. No trade-in required. Current truck must be registered to consumer for 30 days prior to purchase. Residency restrictions apply. See dealer for details. Take retail delivery by 10/31.
Getting your first real paycheck is like celebrating your own Independence Day. It's life-changing once it's deposited. You could go the classic route and drive to the bank. Nothing wrong with that approach. Actually, a little more build-up to the grand moment might fit the occasion. But why not try Regions Mobile Deposit? It's just too easy using the Regions Mobile app. Besides, it's kind of empowering. You get to decide where to deposit the money just by selecting checking, savings, or money market. You can choose the free option and get your funds in one business day. Or, if you need your money sooner, there's also an option for that. Just take a couple of pictures, click a button or two, and boom! One major achievement in the record books. We get it. Some things are bigger than banking. Learn more at regions.com/mobile deposit. Regions. Member FDIC. Conditions and fees may apply, including data fees.
Fast is the nation's largest gig speed network. Beyond Fast is the complete reliability of 4G LTE backup. That means whether you're downloading big files, swiping credit cards, or emailing your sales team or customers, your business can go on even if the power goes out. When you're a business owner, you need speed and reliability. For a limited time, make the switch to Comcast Business and get an amazing deal on fast, reliable internet. Just one more way Comcast Business goes beyond AT&T. Get started with 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month when you add two voice mobility lines. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Offers 11/21/18. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Connection Pro backup limited to up to 6 hours.
Ever heard of Gabby Salinas? If you're an illegal immigrant, you'll love her. Salinas doesn't believe that criminal behavior by illegal immigrants should be reported to federal authorities. That's right. Gabby Salinas wants illegals to stay, even if they commit crimes here in Tennessee. Opposing law enforcement, endangering our communities, and all for politics. Surprised? Don't be. Gabby Salinas supports the far left, people like Bernie Sanders and Nancy Pelosi, extreme liberals on a mission to change America for the worse. Their policies would raise your taxes, eliminate jobs, and kill the economy you've worked so hard to build. Salinas is in lockstep with them and out of step with Tennesseans. Salinas's extreme policies may be great for illegals, but they're terrible for Tennessee.
Paid for by MacPac, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
The best place in Tunica for sports betting is now open. The Book It Horseshoe. Analyze your favorite team's performance to make a winning bet. Not sure how to bet? Our knowledgeable, friendly, and helpful staff is ready to assist you. Come in today and see why the Book It Horseshoe is your favorite place to bet and watch all the action. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Now at Kroger, you can earn 3 times the fuel points on produce. Just download your digital coupon at Kroger.com. Restrictions apply. See store for details. At Kroger.
92.9 FM, 680 AM, and 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Oh my gosh, there's cracks in my wall. Are these floors seem like they're sinking or sloping just a little bit? That could be the signs of a foundation problem. If you've got a foundation problem, you could have a serious problem. And you know this by now. If that's true, you need to get in touch with the Redeemers Group. Local company that's been serving Memphis and the Mid-South for more than a decade offers complete permanent solutions at an affordable price. They handle foundation repair, crawl space repair, basement waterproofing. Recently met a guy telling me what a spectacular job Redeemers Group did with their drainage issues in their basement. Came up, sealed it up, have no problems since. All you got to do is call them, 541-8765, 541-8765. They will send an expert to your home. This will not cost you a single penny, which is rare in today's America. They'll send an expert to your home and will not cost you a single penny. They will analyze the situation. Maybe they'll tell you you're cool, in which case you can go to sleep with a peace of mind knowing you're cool. If not, you got a problem, you can use my name, Jeff Calkins. You get an additional $50 off your repair project. Literally no downside in calling. Could be a big downside in waiting. Call Redeemers Group, 541-8765, 541-8765, or on the web, redeemersgroup.com. Gary Parrish joins me now. Gary Parrish is the host of the Gary Parrish Show from 4 to 6 here on this very station every single day. He's also the national college basketball writer for CBS, columnist for CBSSports.com, multiple Emmy-winning television personality and rising star in the field of meteorology. He joins me now. GP, how are you?
I'm great. What's up?
So you told me yesterday when I was on your program, as I am at 5 o'clock every single day, you told me that you were watching the Hawks game. You're watching the Grizzlies beat the Hawks. And everyone's like, woohoo, this is great, this is awesome. And you were going to point out that it's just the Hawks. And then you said, you know what, why ruin everyone's fun? I'm just going to check my timeline. I didn't say anything. I'm not going to say anything snarky at all. Well, here we are, Gary, just not a few days later. And it looks like the right decision, because it wasn't the Hawks last night. It was the Utah Jazz at Utah. And it was awesome. It wasn't the Hawks. That was a meaningful victory. What say you?
It was fun, more fun, I think, than Friday night, because Friday night was, like, just the Hawks. Like, you're supposed to beat the Hawks at home, or really the Hawks anywhere, but you're not supposed to win at Utah. You know, the Jazz are good. They've got all NBA players. They were a 10.5-point favorite at tip-off, and yet the Grizzlies, you know, like, this wasn't one of those, like, got hot late and you know, rallied and won the game. Like, they controlled the game for much of the game. And obviously after Mark fouled out, the Jazz made a run, but they were able to hold on. And now they're 2-1 with a winning record for the first time in nearly a year. And I will say that the Magic won at Boston last night. So, like, these things happen
now
in the NBA.
You are a killjoy, man. You are a total killjoy. You can't help yourself. Yes.
No, like, these things happen in the NBA sometimes. But it was a reminder. Like, I love Grizzlies road games because it feels like everybody is watching it the same way. Everybody's viewing it through television and you know, on Twitter and enjoying it, particularly nights like last night, in a similar fashion. And so it was terrific. And you know, it's you know, we're 4% into the season. So we'll see. But I will say, if you go to the 538 NBA blog, their win total projection jumped by 2 games just last night. Now, it's only 34 still. But either way, like, through 3 games, you would 100% take a 2-1 record, and that's where we're at.
A couple things. First of all, I think your point about Grizzlies road games is really interesting. I was going to say, I don't know that. For me, last night was not more fun than the opener. It was more meaningful than the opener. The opener was just, particularly if you were in-house, as I happened to be, because of everything that goes on. Like, it is a festival and a party, and it's in there, and particularly on nights like the opener when you're blowing someone out. I probably had more fun watching the game Friday than I did last night. Last night was more meaningful. But I think your point about Grizzlies road games and how we experience them as a community is really interesting, because it has become a thing. Like, Grizzlies, less so on the purely West Coast games, because some people don't stay up late. But everyone is watching them the same way. They're sitting on their couch or they're wherever they're watching it, and they're on Twitter or on social media or somewhere. And it is this community of people that is experiencing this. And it's not like the World Series where the whole country is doing it. It's like, it's a Memphis community that's experiencing this, and it's kind of cool. I didn't know. Of course, when the Grizzlies came here, this stuff didn't even exist. But it's been an interesting part of the NBA watching experience.
It's my favorite part of it. Like last night was a fun Monday night. You know, I get home, have dinner. My wife's aunt and grandmother came down. We're hanging out with the kids and we're watching the Grizzlies. And, you know, had Monday night football on as well, but primarily watching the Grizzlies. And, you know, some of it has to do with the time in the calendar. Like, every game is meaningful now. We might get to February and it's not, right, not the case anymore. But right now, you know, you can talk yourself into almost anything. And so, again, long season, we'll see where it goes. But, you know, starting 2-1 when you've got two road games against playoff teams in your first three games is about as good, if not better, than anybody could have reasonably hoped for. And last night's experience was, it reminded me of how much fun it can be when the Grizzlies are actually playing relevant basketball games and winning games they're not supposed to win in ways that I think maybe, I don't want to say only Memphians appreciate, because that's a little ridiculous, but it's kind of a neat thing that they've carved out, where winning by scoring 90 points or whatever it was is like appreciated. Like that wouldn't work everywhere. Like that last night was what most people would call an ugly basketball game, but Grizzlies fans, because of the grit grind stuff, like, don't have a problem with winning that way. In fact, there's a sense of pride in winning that way.
It was kind of reassuring to win that way after the way they beat the Hawks, honestly, to know that they could guard. And the point about the other thing, is this point about we gathering last night was fun and everyone's watching the Grizzlies and whatnot. I do think it's one of the things that is, we were talking about this last week, whether it would have been better to get an NFL team and an NBA team. And I in the end do come down on the side of the NFL, but I do think there are things that the NBA has over the NFL, a lot of things. And one of them is that you get, if you're just talking about that road experience, if you're a good team and you're in the playoff, the whole, you get 41 of those nights. Like, you get 41 of those fun nights. It's like baseball. Like, baseball, people can deride baseball as irrelevant, whatever. But if you have a meaningful baseball team, if you're interested in, if you're in St. Louis and you're a Cardinals fan or you're a Mets fan, like, that keeps you company for a long stretch of time in a way that the NFL, it's these cataclysmic experiences, but it's not the same. It's not an every night entertainment, which is what baseball is at its best and what the NBA can be at its best.
Well, it doesn't always keep you company deep into the season if you're a Mets fan. but the idea is right. And right. I will say, like, 2015, 2016 were an immense amount of fun for me, because that's really all I want. You phrased it perfectly. I want it to keep me company. Like, I don't demand or even expect the Mets to win divisions or pennants, or certainly not World Series. But what I do hope is, like, keep me interested as deep into the summer, into the fall as you can. And so the calendar, like, baseball season is actually perfect for me. Like, it literally starts while I'm at the Final Four. And so it's like, okay, basketball's over. I'm going to be home. And it's warm, and I get off at 6, and most Mets games, you know, first pitch 6:05, so I can listen to it on the drive home. But then, like, that's the way we spend our summers. We're on the grill, we're in the backyard, we're in the pool, we're hanging out upstairs, but, like, the Mets are, a background. It's at the very least, it's background television basically every single night. And so that's as much fun as I can have. Again, quotation marks around the word fun, but having those types of nights, and obviously, like, I'm probably the only one, you know, or one of the few in the Memphis market who cares like that about a baseball team, particularly a bad baseball team. But the Grizzlies do provide that for the entire city. Like you said, theoretically, 82 nights a year, 41 road nights, and last night was one of them.
Okay, so let's they get the win. There's some good things that have happened. Jaren Jackson looks like he's a good player. Mark and Mike look like they are involved and effective. Jeffrey made a fine point for all the people who, like, are so gritty to get rid of Mark. You saw what they looked like without Mark last night in the last few minutes. It was not necessarily a pretty sight. So that's happened. The depth has come into play early. That's good. Some of the veteran acquisitions, whether it's Garrett Temple or even Omri Caspi's playing, and Shelvin Max had some minutes, and, like, Kyle Anderson hasn't really quite figured it out yet, it doesn't feel like. But there's some good things that have happened. Obviously, some bad things. Jermichael getting hurt, and now already Chandler's knees acting up, which is not a great shock. Are you at a place, I don't know what you said, if you ever had a win total. I think mine was 37. Would you reevaluate right now based on what's happening, or would you think is your outlook for the Grizzlies exactly where it was before the season, or has it ticked upward just like at 538? It's ticked upward a little.
I wouldn't change anything based on the first three games, if only because it's just three games, and there are weird results in the NBA basically every night. Like I said, the Magic beat the Celtics in Boston last night. I don't think anybody changes what they think about the Magic too much based on that, or the Celtics too much based on that. I think the Grizzlies are going to win in the 30s. I think they're going to miss the playoffs. But I'd be happy to be wrong about that. And, you know, right now, nothing happens in a vacuum. I guess every game does count. If you're trying to be a playoff team, and that should be the goal. It is the goal. I don't know that it's likely to be achieved, but that's the goal. And if you look at last season, you know, the difference between the third seed in the West and the first team to miss the playoff, which was the Nuggets, was three games. You know, the Blazers were the third seed with 49 wins, and Denver missed the playoffs with 46 wins. And so every one of these does count. And I don't think it's insignificant. It might be insignificant. But, two projected playoff teams in the West are 0-3 right now. And it doesn't mean that they won't win the next four. But the Lakers are 0-3 and the Thunder are 0-3. And so, you know, this is a decent time to be optimistic if you're wired to be optimistic. I don't know that I've seen anything that makes me go, oh, we had this peg wrong. But, you know, 2-1 through three games with two of those games being road games against playoff teams is, like I said, as good as anybody could have hoped for.
It also Mark and Mike are so central to the whole thing. I mean, you realize, and this is true of anyone, of course, it's like saying LeBron is central to it. Of course he's central to it, right? But Mark and Mike have both been hurt. What happened last year is they were 5-1 and Mike got hurt, you know, and then all kinds of things went wrong. But if that happened again, the bottom would fall out again. You lose Mike again, and you're a horrible team. I mean, it's just, I'm not saying they will, but I mean, it is, you do realize how much they depend on those guys. And they're older guys, is my point. They're older guys, and they have gotten hurt before. And so the whole thing is fragile, but it is a lot of fun. In terms of the rest of the NBA, you mentioned LeBron 0-3. That was a wildly entertaining game last night. Overtime, a loss to San Antonio. LeBron hits the bucket to send it into overtime. He shouldn't have been able to do that because he tried to call timeout in a Chris Webber fashion. It was not granted because they didn't have a timeout, but that should have cost him. And then in OT, misses two free throws and then misses the game winner. I have to say, LeBron in LA is fun for me. It's a fun experiment, and I don't love stars going to big markets. You do. I don't love stars going to big markets, but it is fun. It's just fun seeing how this thing's going to play out. And here's my other view. Let's see if I think it's kind of the fact that there are no expectations around the Lakers. If I'm LeBron, I want one of two things. I want to be in a position to win another title, to win another title. I don't want to get, but like a team that I actually think I could beat the Warriors with. Right. Or honestly, I want to be on a team where if we're the fourth seed, that's a success. I think this is kind of, if I'm LeBron, I think people ask if he was bothered they're 0-3. He didn't want to be 0-3, obviously. But if I'm LeBron, I'm kind of happy that the pressure's off this year. Maybe I'm wired, obviously, totally differently than LeBron. But to me, if I'm LeBron, I'm thinking this is great. Success this year is going to be measured by getting a fourth seed. That's fantastic after what I've trying to carry in these miserable teammates of mine at the Cavs over the Warriors, or I'm a loser.
For eight consecutive years, at the very least, the bar was championship or bust. And I know that he was an underdog most times he got to the finals, but still, it was like LeBron lost in the finals. It was never from the casual basketball fan. It might have been from me and maybe from Nick Wright, who can appreciate LeBron's greatness, and understand that him reaching the finals, you know, 8 consecutive years with, you know, the Heat were supposed to get there. He was surrounded by Hall of Famers in their prime. But, like, those Cavs teams, especially last season, like, they weren't supposed to be there. That's an incredible achievement. And yet, for most people, it was just LeBron lost in the finals again. So the idea that you can be doing things that I believe no other basketball player in the history of the world could have done, Michael Jordan included, which is get those rosters, especially the ones in Cleveland, to the finals year after year after year, to not have that be appreciated must be, like, incredibly, like, just frustrating. And so now he finds himself in a situation where, like you said, nobody expects much. Like, if he goes to the playoffs and, like, loses in the second round, it'd be like, whatever. You know, like, he inherited a lottery team or joined a lottery team, and he made it not a lottery team. Just like he left a Eastern Conference championship team, and now they're going to be a lottery team. It's exactly like when he left Cleveland the first time. He takes over a team and takes it somewhere of note, and the team that he leaves, it'll go straight into the lottery. And so, ultimately, he's going to want to, you know, add another championship if possible. And, you know, that's going to be heavily reliant on what the Lakers are able to do next July via free agency. But he does get to breathe for a year at least. And I imagine that must be nice, even if being 0-3 kind of sucks.
Okay, a couple other things. Right now, by the way, if you were going to redraft the draft this year, your own personal redraft, you've gotten 5 expansion teams. So we're not worrying about team building here. What's the order?
It might be DeAndre Ayton at the top. I mean, he looks to be the real deal. I mean, he always like from a visual perspective, like looked the right way. But he's already producing at an incredible level.
Of course, he was at the top. I don't think he was your top. Not that whatever, but he was at the top.
Right.
He was the top. He doesn't guard. Like, he's going to put up huge numbers on a bad team. Like, but he's, I think he's really good. Yeah.
Here's the thing. I think if you go through really the top 5 picks, I think with the lone exception being Sacramento, and even Marvin Bagley, like, has been productive.
Yep.
It's just like a matter of you can sort of see a higher, like, and I say this as somebody who said Marvin Bagley should be the first pick in the draft. Like, I'm willing to acknowledge that I might be wrong. I might end up being wrong about that. I'm not willing to give up on it already, but I have eyeballs. You know, I see what these other guys are doing. But I think it's possible that if you asked each franchise that picked in the top 5, would you keep your guy? They might all keep their guy. You know, like, I think Phoenix would say, yeah, we're going to keep DeAndre Ayton. We're happy. And then Sacramento's like, yeah, you know, Marvin Bagley, we like it. We're going to keep him. We're happy.
Bagley, it's funny. Like, he's, quote-unquote, the disappointment. He's got 13-19. He had a game of 6, 15-17. You know, he's averaging four,
right.
He's averaging 14-7 in his first 5, you know, whatever. Like the first 5 games.
And Luka's already blowing people away. I know the Grizzlies are happy with Jaren. Trae Young just went 35-10 the other night. First rookie to do that since Steph Curry did it. I think this might be a draft where, you know, sometimes we look back on drafts and we go, ooh, they blew it, or ooh, you know, they should have went this other direction. This might be one where we look back and go, you know what, like, yeah, this guy's better than that guy and that guy's better than this guy, but, like, the top 5 picks of the draft all turned out to be, you know, pretty good. Like, you know, like, maybe they won't all be all-stars or franchise players, but I don't see a bust in the top 5, and usually there is one, but, you know, again, we're just a week or so into the season, but a week or so into the season, it doesn't look like any of the top 5 picks are going to be busts.
And then, finally, a couple things you've written or been involved in writing recently. One is you did your top 101 best players for the 2018-19 college basketball season. Dedrick Lawson at number 4. This, of course, produces a string of tweets from Memphis fans saying he's a selfish loser. Let's be honest. This would be the fact that Tubby's gone changes this completely. Like, this would drive you crazy if he's the best player on the best team in college basketball and Tubby were still here. It changes it. It's still a lament for Memphis fans, but it doesn't drive you crazy as much if you're a Memphis fan, does it? It shouldn't.
No, but I talked about this last season. Like, if Tubby were to come back for a year 3, it was going to be terrible. You know, like the stuff wasn't hard to figure out if you just like weren't being ridiculous and blinded by whatever. They sucked last year, and they were going to suck again this season. And there was going to be a scenario where Tubby Smith's on the sideline, FedEx Forum's empty, the team's bad, and the players he ran off by demoting their father are helping Kansas win a Big 12 title and perhaps a national championship. Like, that, it was going to be really bad because that's an easy story to tell. And it's still, like, just stupid, except if you want to look on the bright side, I think Tubby Smith is still a coach at Memphis if he doesn't demote Keelan Lawson, because I don't think they would have been bad enough to fire him if Dedrick and KJ would have been there last season. You know, the truth is, I'll never understand why Memphis fans, some, not all, some, talk themselves into the idea that Dedrick and KJ were the problem at Memphis. Like, well, we never won anything with them. Well, like, the Pelicans have really never won anything with Anthony Davis.
Right.
Anthony Davis ain't the problem. Right. You know, it's everything else.
You know, Andrew Luck the Colts have never really done anything with Andrew Luck either, you know?
Right.
You know who else sucked? Archie Manning blew. Like, he was terrible. Saints did terrible with Archie Manning.
The idea that, like, Dedrick and KJ were never the problem at Memphis. The problem was everything that, basically everything that surrounded Dedrick and KJ. And that's going to be on full display this season at Kansas. Like, I'm going to the Champions Classic in a couple of weeks. It's actually 2 weeks from tonight. And, you know, Dedrick will be playing his first game with Kansas as, you know, and he'll be a first-team All-American, preseason first-team All-American for the number one ranked team in the country. Like, that's what Dedrick Lawson is. Like, we just did our voting at CBS Sports for preseason All-American teams, and it's not going to publish, I think, until next week, maybe even the week of the season. But I can go ahead and tell you, Dedrick Lawson is going to be a preseason first-team All-American. He was a top-five player on our, like you said, top 101 players in America list, and he's terrific. I'm happy for him. I won't say that they behaved perfectly every step of the way. They're young people who, you know, did some dumb things, particularly KJ on social media. But they're super talented basketball players. And we focus so much on Dedrick. KJ was the American Athletic Conference Newcomer of the Year. Like, he was – like, they would have been right there with Jeremiah Martin last season as the, you know, two of the top three players on that team. And so if you're looking for – the bright side of Tubby Smith actually, in a nonsensical way, demoting Keelan Lawson and costing himself two of his top three players, the bright side is this. Dedrick and KJ, if he had not done that, Tubby would probably still be the coach right now, and Penny would not be the coach right now. And so I think when you add it all up, this is better, even if it still is hard to understand why it happened the way it happened.
Zion Williamson's only 13 on the list.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's really good, but he's not the best player on his team, even if he's the most famous player on his team. R.J. Barrett is the best player in college basketball, even if he hasn't played a college basketball game yet. And that'll be obvious, again, 2 weeks from tonight when he probably scores 30 against Kentucky. But Zion, I don't want to say I'm skeptical because he's going to be great, but he's so hard to peg because he's just different than maybe any other like high-level prospect that's entered college basketball in a while, in the sense that, you know, he's an undersized forward, but a super athlete. You know, usually when you talk about these undersized sort of big-bodied forwards, you think of Omar Sneed or Chris Massey. But like, think of Omar Sneed or Chris Massey if they could also, like, put their chin on the rim. That's what Zion Williamson is. And so a top 15 player in college basketball is still like an All-American in college basketball. He's going to be good, but that's about where he probably belongs, I think.
GP, thanks very much. I'll talk to you at 5 o'clock.
All right, bye-bye.
If you want to instantly add style, personality, your home or business, call Chip Wiggins, Affordable Blinds of Memphis. Set up an appointment for a free home consultation. That's the best part. It's hard to say what the best part of it is. Could be the best part is that they have the best stuff and the quickest turnaround time. Could be that the best stuff is they got all the options. They got your cordless options. Again, I've told you that after this year, you won't be allowed to sell corded blinds anymore for safety reasons. They got motorized options. They can help you with your arched windows or difficult spots. But I think what really makes this special is that they'll set up a free in-home consultation. They'll bring you all their samples, colors, options. He'll sit down with you, measure everything, price the job, order the products, and if you want to go ahead and do it within 1 to 3 weeks, they will be back to install them. So you don't have to wrestle with any of this yourself.
You don't have to go to a big box store and try to figure out how to do it. You don't have to order stuff for the... No, talk to Chip Wiggins at Affordable Blinds of Memphis. It's why so many businesses and restaurants around town use Affordable Blinds, and you can have them for your own home. 753-5822, 753-5822. Holidays are just around the corner. You want your home looking its absolute best. Or you can Google Affordable Blinds of Memphis, and it'll pop right up. If you mention my name, Jeff Calkins, you get an additional 10% off. Again, that's 753-5822. Chris Harrington is in the studio. He is going to join us next to talk about the Grizzlies with a winning record. His piece is up at DailyMemphian.com. He has tweeted it out. And we'll talk to Chris coming up next. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
It is that time of year. Time to start thinking about where you're going to have that special holiday dinner, get together, or party, which means it's time to start thinking about Bounty on Broad. Bounty on Broad has private dining spaces that can accommodate 12 to 25 guests. Bounty on Broad can host cocktail parties and, if you need a bigger space, can host up to 200 people throughout the entire restaurant. And what better place for a party, honestly? Bounty on Broad is flat out beautiful. It makes you feel good just walking into the place. The food is farm to table and it's delicious. From the braised pork shank to the fried Gulf oysters to the white wine poached flounder. All items on the menu come out family style and can serve 3 to 4 people per dish. Bounty can also offer a menu of heavy hors d'oeuvres. So let Bounty on Broad help plan your next family celebration, corporate dinner party, rehearsal dinner, or holiday gala. Bounty on Broad is located at 2519 Broad Avenue. See the menu and more at bountyonbroad.com or call them at 901-410-8131.
So it's Jeff Calkins here for Cooper Systems. For the longest time, my former employer wouldn't let me do endorsements, so I couldn't tell you that I'm a Cooper Systems customer myself. True story. When my laptop got all tangled up with viruses, I went to Cooper Systems. When I needed a reasonably priced laptop for my sons, Cooper Systems. And why not? For more than 30 years, Cooper Systems has been serving the computer needs of Memphians. Got networking challenges? Cooper Systems can plan, design, install, and maintain your network. Need help with data recovery? Cooper Systems experts can handle that. Crack screen? No problem. Oh, and if you're in the market to buy a computer, Cooper Systems prices are typically half.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.